Sunday the 19th of February 2023, 9 o'clock service. Sermon series, Journey with Matthew. Sermon title, Heaven Meets Earth. Bible reading, Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 18. Talk by Darrell Williams.
Today's reading is from Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 18. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Right, good morning. How are you all doing? Okay, so I have to confess, I was slightly nervous when I started studying a passage that points out the importance of seeking God's recognition over that of human approval. This perhaps a timely reminder to myself of the importance of putting God first in everything and seeking to serve him in everything we do. Well, why the nervousness, you may ask? The reason is I gained a place for my charity where I work to run this year's London Marathon, which is being held in April. My fundraising target is high. I have to raise around about £2,000. As I am already known to be something of an obsessive runner, I started taking on additional challenges to attract the attention of friends and colleagues in a bid to encourage sponsorship. My challenges so far have included a cold water swim at the Brockwell Lido in an event named Icebreaker, and a wig climb of the famous Cutty Sark ship, followed by a controlled descent back down to the ship's deck. As I started promoting my challenges on social media, I started receiving likes and comments, as well as having colleagues asking me about my challenges at work. It would be dishonest if I pretended not to enjoy the attention. It can start becoming addictive, especially when peers and colleagues start asking about what the challenge was like, and then they start asking you, what is next? What will the next challenge be? I started to realise there was a risk that I could fall into the trap of approval addiction. The entire point of fundraising is to try and raise needed funds for my charity and not boost my own personal reputation. It is always nice to receive encouragement, and it is always good to encourage others. That is not in itself a bad thing, but I felt I needed to find a way of changing tact. The answer came when I mentioned to a work colleague that for my next event, I was thinking of the O2 roof climb. My colleague expressed interest, saying how much they would also like to take part in the dome climb. It quickly occurred to me that I could open up my next challenge, inviting friends and colleagues to join me. As tempting as seeking all the approval for myself might be, I realised I could try and inspire a few people to join me, to have their moment, their challenge, to take on something for themselves, and also help raise those important additional funds for my charity in the process. One of the key warnings that comes from the opening of this morning's passage is not what we do, but our motives and reasons for doing them. The reality of fundraising is it requires a lot of self-promotion, working out inventive ways of attracting attention and trying to get noticed. But that does not mean I cannot find ways of involving others, shifting focus back towards my charity and looking to bring community together. As we look at the opening of today's passage, Jesus is criticising the hypocrites who love to be seen praying in front of the synagogues. The Pharisees had started to enjoy the praise of others, and this had become more important to them than the praise of God. There is nothing wrong with public prayer, unless, however, we spend more time praying in public than we do in private. We will all pray together this morning, and coming together to praise and worship God is important. The problem here is one of attitude. We should be seeking God out in our daily prayer, and praying is central to a believer's life. The key to note here is this: in seeking human recognition, we can only receive human rewards. Our prayers, which we pray in private, those we pray to God, where we are not seeking human approval, but that of our Lord, are the prayers where we can expect a heavenly reward. There is a challenging point where we are told not to babble like the pagans, who think they will be heard because of their many words. This is not an instruction to keep prayers short. Jesus himself would pray at length. But our prayers need to be open, honest dialogue, where we are able to open our hearts to the Lord. We cannot bully God into submission if we are not first seeking God's kingdom and then asking help with our needs. I tried to think of an example, as we should never feel afraid to bring anything we need to prayer before God. And again, I think this is more about attitude. My example is this: if I complain bitterly every day because I was overlooked for a promotion at work, and at some length listed all the reasons why I felt this was unfair, I could miss the real blessing that God has for me. Maybe if I got promoted, there are people who have come into my life that I may have not have otherwise met. There might be something even greater that God has planned. Instead of being disappointed about what I do not have, I should be grateful for the many blessings of which I do. Instead of complaining, which cannot achieve anything, my prayer should be one of constant praise, excitement about the things God can see that I cannot, and using the positions and privileges I have now to try and serve God's kingdom, to share that blessing with others. I think another important issue to consider when we think about attitudes is that of individualism, the idea that we can do everything on our own. It has become increasingly trendy within pop culture and on social media to talk of self-love and doing things within our own power. There is nothing inherently wrong with encouraging people to not feel they need to be validated by others. That is not out of keeping with this morning's talk. But we should be seeking our validation from God. The problem is this notion that we can do everything ourselves, that we do not need other people, that we can do everything in our own strength, in our own power. Friendship, fellowship, and being able to reach out to others is important. Knowing we can reach out to God is vital. People need to know they are not alone. They do not have to deal with everything by themselves. And it is healthy to be part of a community. Jesus moves on to the Lord's Prayer, and there's something important that we often miss about the prayer Jesus taught us. Jesus offers us the Lord's Prayer as an example. It is, in many respects, a template for prayer. The Lord's Prayer is essentially the instruction manual for how to pray. If you want some guidance in your prayer life, the Lord's Prayer is the guide that can help us. I'd like to encourage you all to, at some point during the week, to reflect on this prayer and maybe even write your own version. Maybe you might like to bring that back to church at some point in the future, and we may even be able to use some of those in our worship together. The first thing to note about the Lord's Prayer is the way that it is structured. It begins with three petitions that is centred on God's glory. The prayer then moves on to our own needs before God. Jesus begins the prayer with "Our Father." This is of huge importance. The fatherhood of God is not something we see in the Old Testament. Yet here, Jesus is teaching the disciples to address God as Father. Also important to note is the plural use of "Our Father." Demonstrates this is a prayer that is to be shared in fellowship with others. The template prayer, the framework offered as guidance on how to pray, begins with this personal address. We pray to our God in fellowship, our God, our Father. This prayer is not just a template, not just guidance, not just a manual, not just the correct way in which we should conduct prayer. It points to prayer being relational. We are able to enter into a relationship with God, our Father, through prayer and bring our needs before him. How radical is our faith, how radical is our God, Lord Jesus, that he teaches us to pray to our Father. We are praying to a personal God, one which we have entered into a relationship with, one who wants to hear our meaningful prayers, who wants to know how we are feeling, to bring our lives before him, regardless of what we are going through, in praise and fellowship. The three petitions begin with a call that God's name be hallowed. We are not praying that our holy God can somehow become even more holy. This is petitioning that people throughout the world will recognise the holiness of God. That those who do not yet know God, who are not saved, who have not entered into a relationship with Jesus, will come to know God's glory and love for them. When we then have the next petition, which is that of "Your kingdom come." On earth as it is, so your kingdom come. Jesus is about to usher in God's kingdom on earth in his mission that will ultimately see him go to the cross and rescue us from our sins. As Christians, we already belong to the kingdom of God, which will be fully realised at the end of the age. But we want all people of earth to recognise and know God's saving rule. This leads us into the next petition, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And as just noted, Jesus will fulfil God's will by going to the cross and being resurrected to new life. Here at St Chad's, we want to fulfil God's will in our community through our building project, through outreach, bringing together community in Jesus' name and serving others. The Lord's Prayer then moves on to the petitions which are more broadly about our physical and emotional needs. Jesus has told us in verse 8 that God already knows what we need before we ask him. This is of huge reassurance. God always answers prayer, but not always in the time or manner that we might like. Sometimes we might struggle because we were hurt by a situation and things did not turn out the way we had hoped. God always knows what is next and will guide us to something much better. I mean a place now that I would not have been if God had granted me the things I wanted in the past. It is not that I necessarily prayed for the wrong things at that time, but God had planned for better relationships new responsibilities, more resources, and even greater gifts than I could ever have imagined. God's love is amazing, but it can require us to hold on to faith in tough circumstances. Many of us were praying that doctors would manage to develop a vaccine against COVID when the news consistently told us that a vaccine may never be possible, or that it may not be highly effective, or that it could take years to develop. Yet despite all the warnings, against the odds, scientists developed the vaccines that have helped keep us safe and allowed us to return to our lives. As Christians, we should seek to pray for the things we need and not random wants. The things I pray for is the strength to manage my job, to be able to make wise decisions, be around for my family, for health and well-being, for those I care for. Sometimes I pray just for the strength to keep going. Life can be tough. I struggle as much as anyone. As much as I might like a yacht and maybe a private jet, these are not the kind of things I'm seeking or that I have an overwhelming need for. It is important to note that when we talk about the issue of forgiveness, this is not something that can be earned. We do not earn forgiveness by being forgiving to others. We forgive others as God first forgave us. God expects us to show the same love and forgiveness to others he has shown to us first. If we cannot forgive others, then that is when God cannot forgive us. As we have talked about a template for prayer, I'd like to end this morning with my own version that I'd like to share with you all. Our Father in heaven, thank you for your great love and mercy. We pray that we can be a beacon of your light to all we meet, to those around us, that they will see your great holiness and come to know your kingdom. May we seek out your will in our lives as a way of offering service to others. We pray you hear our requests, Father, and help us with the daily challenges that life can bring. Help us to show the same love and forgiveness to those who have done wrong by us, in the same way you have shown love and forgiveness despite the wrongs we have committed against you. Guide us and give us the wisdom to navigate away from the troubles and storms life can bring. May we stay true to you and avoid the folly of the evil one who tries to trip us up. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen.